superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
The San Francisco 49ers select.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Trey Lance.
I definitely see it as Jimmy's the starter.
Lance under the gun this time. Fires downfield. Touchdown!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Look out, man. He's a much bigger, huger threat at the position than Garoppolo. Is he ready? Maybe not.
Earlier on the show, Colts head coach Frank Reich, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, Oscar-nominated actor Michael Keaton, still to come, host of Money Court, Kevin O'Leary, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. What a great fun hour we had last hour. Michael Keaton was, as advertised, just terrific. He's in a new film called The Protégé that's terrific, and I recommend you go see it on Friday. I saw it last night in advance of the conversation today. And the celebrity true or false we did with him was one of our favorites.
Good stuff.
As we hit Mr. Mom, Beetlejuice,
that's three.
Batman. I know what. Not all at once. Not all at once.
You got to say it in order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Come on, everybody. Back
you
off.
Can spread
right.
that. You
back
can off. Spread those out.
Back off.
Right. Enough time had passed.
And we also hit Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with him.
Yeah.
And because he was on it.
That was great.
That was just a fun conversation after Kyle Brandt joined us from Good Morning Football. Hour number one, Frank Reich was on the program. Said he was very encouraged by Wentz and Quentin Nelson. Can't sit here and say he doesn't have the crystal ball. He did drop an it is what it is. But that was in reference to the taunting stuff that's out there. And his response was terrific on that because his player, Benny LeMay, got his running back got hit with the most talked about taunting penalty of the weekend. And I loved his answer for two reasons. One is he basically said, we don't need to do that around here. When you channel your energy to your team, to your teammates, that's what he said. He told the team after LeMay got 15 yards for just in a nanosecond staring down at the guy. One of the, like, what, four or five Panthers he just trucked,
12, 13,
right?
Okay. I think.
He got, right. And their families.
Yeah.
You know, and so not only did I like the answer for that, too, but it also echoed what I had to say, which is the win for me here. That's why I do a show like this, is to give
to
you my opinion.
Right?
Yes, to give you my opinion and then to have somebody in the league that I cover and talk about echo exactly what I said.
Also, Rich, you don't really see coaches thanking interviewers for questions after they're asked.
Well, he thanked for the way that I phrased the sentence. I understand talking to NFL coaches now in my 19th year of doing such a thing.
You finally figured it out?
How you could phrase it.
Yeah, I've never
Did
heard
you like how I got into the subject of Wentz and Quentin Nelson? You run the risk of, you know, making light of their situation. Yeah. They might not find it funny.
I was a little worried there because that could have went either way.
When I started the interview by saying that this interview is going to last anywhere between five and 12 minutes.
I know you went to five.
I've interviewed him a few times. I would have just walked through that door without having.
Sure,
like,
of course.
Let's just, like, I've never interviewed Nick Sirianni before. Like, I won't do that. But I've interviewed Frank Reich several times.
Right.
He knows I'm not, like, a troll. You know, so.
Yeah. By the way, Jason just told me he just got the 5 to 12 reference.
Just now you did?
It took him a whole hour.
Oh, my God. 2 hours.
Yeah. Not the brightest sometimes.
It's okay. It's all right. I mean, we're used to that from that chair.
Exactly. You know, I get in this chair and I feel dumbed down.
You get in that chair and all of a sudden something happens. I mean, he walked
not Mike
in.
Del Tufo.
Honestly, he walked in, he had just cured cancer, and now he's sitting there and he just can't even walk and chew gum.
Oh. I don't have everything ready.
There he is. Very good. And so Kyle Brandt was here in hour number two and gave a very impassioned plea for the Bears to start Justin Fields week number one. And he made an incredible, I mean, he came up with four or five different takes and approaches to say the same thing. Justin Fields should start. And the best thing that he also had to say is because you're hearing nonstop that Matt Nagy, the coach there, was on the Chiefs staff when they drafted Mahomes and how he watched Mahomes sit for every regular season game until the final regular season game, and that year helped him become the Mahomes that he is today. I mean, I'm giving you the shorthand version of it, but that's the general sense of it. Nagy even said when he came on this show, right after drafting Justin Fields, is that's the plan. Is it's Dalton's job, and he wants Fields to sit, like have a nice year sitting and watching, just like the Chiefs were able to do with Mahomes, and he knows that plan, and he wants to do it. And I even said at the time, in the middle of the interview, I'm kind of, you know, proud of this too, which is why I'm bringing it up. I'm like, I don't think you're going to have the ability to do that,
yeah,
Coach.
It doesn't seem like that, yeah.
And part of that is because, you know, Andy Dalton does not have the Bears fan base in the palm of his hand, or have the Bears fan base attention and trust because of years of work in that system and in that city that Alex Smith had just built up in Kansas City. It's just it's not the same scenario. It's the same scenario that you draft somebody in the first round that you move up to go get, you trade up to go get, and you covet, and you want to have marinate and succeed. That's the same scenario. I understand that, but everything else is different. So that's the Bears' approach right now. As I said, I don't hear a single person in Chicagoland or know of any, and anybody, any Bear fan saying, you know what, I think, you know, slow and sure wins this race. So let's start Dalton, certainly against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey week one in the new SoFi on Sunday night in front of Al, Chris, God, and Country on NBC. I don't know a single person doing that. Oh, hold on a second. We do. That person in Chicago is named Andy Dalton. And this is what he had to say on the subject of starting week one and beyond.
How do you work around the awkwardness of all of the Justin excitement?
Yeah, I mean, you can't focus on that. If you focus on that, then that's going to beat you down. And so I know who I am. I know who I was created to be. I know where my identity lies. And so do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. But that's not my focus. I can't focus on all that right now. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time, and so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
Right now, this is my time. That's going to be the soundbite that's of the day. I don't know what other soundbite that might come out.
Even just the text of it, you kind of see that and not hear the context of his answer.
Right.
That's going to be blown so far out of proportion. I feel bad for Andy.
No,
in that respect,
how about this? I hear you what you're saying there, and I understand the spirit in which it's intended. I love hearing that from him. I love hearing that from him, and I bet Matt Nagy will love hearing that from him too. This is my time. And it's not like him sitting there and saying, you know, anything other than I'm a professional, I know who I am, and this is my time, and I'm going to take it. I will always back a player who says that. I say that, you know, in defense of or support of Jalen Hurts, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. I love when players say, this is my time, I'm taking it. I have an opportunity, I'm not giving it up. Mm-hmm. I might not have much more of a window of opportunity, I'm taking it. Tim Tebow trying out for the Jaguars. I love that stuff. And I have Andy Dalton has every right to say that. And he's done everything right in his career. Coming out of TCU, nobody expected him to be atop the second round to do what he did in Cincinnati. And I know that he never won a playoff game there. I get it. But he won championships there. And what he did at TCU, some of his records will still stand. Yep. He's one of the best there. And in Cincinnati, we all know what he's done in the community. We all know that Bills fans love him because of what he did to the Ravens to get the Bills in the playoffs a few years ago. He and his wife are pillars of whatever community that they are in. But I fear this is not his time. I fear this is not his time for him. And I don't think that that statement will be viewed by anyone in Chicago as a reason to support. It's just, he had to know when he was signing with the Bears that with five first round grade quarterbacks available in the draft, that the Bears would not identify one of them and take a shot at one of them. In fact, moving up to go get one. Let's put it this way. When the news flash came across from Cleveland that the Bears were trading up and drafted Justin Fields, it was less of a surprise than, say, the Rodgers household during the 2020 pandemic draft.
Yeah.
So I love that he has that mentality, and the Bears should love it too. The coaches should love it too. I know that in many parts he will be blasted for that sort of thing as being totally oblivious to the reality of the situation. Not here, not on this show. No. I think the Bears will like that. I think Nagy will like that because guess what? Justin Fields might over the next couple of weeks prove that he is not ready somehow.
Right.
I doubt it. He might have to be ready week one, and you want somebody with Aaron Donald across the line of scrimmage to think this is my team.
Yeah.
And you never know. He might pull off the W. And at some point, what happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick last year in Miami, where kind of out of the blue, it's no longer your gig. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for getting us off to a nice, good start. Yeah. But you've got to sit because we're going with our kid. And that might happen to him then. I do not believe we're going to see the Alex Smith season and Justin Fields have the Patrick Mahomes rookie season. That is just not in the cards. And for Andy Dalton, good for him saying that. I don't think that's going to affect anything positively for him within the Chicagoland media that will light up the phone lines of what's he thinking. Who the hell is he? He never won anything in Cincinnati. His own teammates in Dallas last year when he was seeing stars in D.C. didn't even go pick him up.
Right.
Not his fault.
What if he beats the Rams, though?
Then it doesn't. But honestly, when he's sitting there thinking it's his time, Fitzpatrick has more of an opportunity of it being his time in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, because
there's nobody there. Tyler Heineke is not Fields.
Yeah.
Also, if I'm a Bears fan, though, I'd like that. Like, I don't want a guy coming in going, hey, man, you know what?
Yeah.
Just happy to be here, and wherever they want to put me, they want to put me in special teams, I'll do that.
But
just want to be part of a team. Like, right. You want a guy coming in like, look, I'm coming. We talked about this last week, bro. I mean, compete. I want to compete. I want the job.
I know.
And
I think that's why what we're talking about right here might be an outlier amongst shows like these today. But Chicago has been waiting.
Sure.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton comes in off of last year's dreadful season in Dallas. Not his fault entirely. Okay.
Didn't help.
But it didn't help. Off of him being the face of the Marvin Lewis offer. Fair or not. Because as we know, Carson Palmer got Kimo Van Olhoffened and it looked great for the Bengals there until Carson hurt his knee. So he wasn't the only quarterback there for the Marvin Lewis offer, but Dalton is the face of the can't win the big one under the lights Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, not that guy. And the Bears fans are going to sit there and go, okay, great, Sunday night football, first game of the season, Los Angeles. Like, they would rather go down and watch Fields struggle against the Rams than watch Dalton struggle against the Rams. Because Dalton struggling against the Rams is like, what are you thinking? Put the kid in there. And Fields struggling against the Rams is, well, we're taking our lumps. We'll win with Fields eventually. Right. And that's the way this is all going to have to play out, which is why I like hearing what Andy Dalton had to say, but I don't think it's going to work out for him the way that he thinks. We'll take a break. Kevin O'Leary, when we come back, and then later on this hour, what's sitting on the Warriors' doorstep right now, based on Kevin Durant and Draymond Green having a chit-chat for our former place of business, Bleacher Report. Kevin O'Leary, coming up, entrepreneur, investor, shark, and host of Money Court.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it. And in theory, basically, it would keep you, you know, people knowing what's happening
to you. Just to get the whole story,
yeah,
before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
Subscription per month.
People are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap. $12 a year.
Okay, so here's a scenario.
Yep.
Like, you're in your apartment. You die. Don't you think the neighbors are going to smell your rotting corpse?
Oh, no. There was actually a person in Santa Monica that sat for 8 days, two buildings down from me, before people knew that person was dead.
That's the worst idea.
Not only does this have zero merit, I mean, the chance that people actually want to contemplate their mortality and pay 99 cents a month doing it is crazy. Think about it. If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
In theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check in?
When you're dead, you're dead. Like, who cares?
But just in case.
No, I won't care. There'll be a new guy.
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to them on the phone. You don't have to call them. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
If you think if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say call your mother, Mike. Call your mother.
But let's just assume that you're not going to call. People don't call their mother and father live 2,500 miles away
Mom,
every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
dies. Yeah, you could check in. You know that they've actually... Exactly.
Thank you, Mike.
So she logs on and says, I'm dying.
Oh, like, man.
Are you, like, you know, Mike, horrifically bad, really bad, really bad.
I tried.
Oh, honestly, how many times have we played that over and over again? Oh, 50?
It's been a lot. Oh. Still funny.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kevin O'Leary, the host of CNBC's Money Court, which is going to be a new episode tonight at 10 p.m. on CNBC, will be joining us in a matter of moments. Who's been holding on for as long as you've got one caller that's been holding on forever?
Yeah, we got one caller, Ken in Idaho.
What's
on
up,
line
Ken?
One.
What's
Ken,
up?
What's up?
What's up, sir?
Oh, well, hi, Rich. It's Ken the Trucker with Lily the Beagle. We're rolling today.
All right. So. How you been?
We were in Idaho when we went on hold. Now we're in Utah.
Well, at least I got you before you got to Nevada. So.
Well, now going the wrong direction.
Okay,
there,
sorry.
But anyway, we're heading towards Colorado, so we'll see how the irrational exuberance of the Broncos fans is kicking in since they had one good preseason game.
Nice. What is on your mind then?
One thing that's just hysterical. I had some witty comment about the NFL, but now I've forgotten it. when I'm rolling, I'm...
Oh, did we just lose him?
I dealt two fold in my bad.
Come on, bro.
That was me. I'm sorry.
Do you cut him off?
Wow.
He's a trucker who's called in so many times. He's got his dog with him sitting shotgun. Like they're BJ and the Bear, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Like they're every which way but loose.
They're eastbound and down,
man. They're eastbound and down, for crying out loud.
Breaker 1-9.
Oh, gosh. I hope he calls back and we'll take him at least on the back end here.
Sorry.
I mean, how's that even possible, Jay?
Oh, like, what do you do?
I was bringing our
That's
next
That's what I mean.
In.
I know what he was doing, and he hit the wrong button.
Very good.
Is our
guest on the line?
Okay. He is on the line.
He is the star of CNBC's Money Court. He is also a shark in Shark Tank, which is nominated for every single last thing that needs to be nominated for. He was on the show in person about 4 years ago, and he called in a couple times, including this one. Kevin O'Leary back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kevin?
Great to be here, Rich. Thank you.
Great to have you here. Where have I called? Where have I found you? Where are you in these in this great North America? Where are you, Kevin? Where have I found you?
Well, I'm in transit right now, actually, on my way to New York. So we've got a big airing of our second episode of Money Court. I'm excited about it
tonight. So, why did you decide to take on yet even more for you to do, Kevin, for something like this? What do you do this for?
I do this all day long, Rich. I have 30 plus companies, and every day in, the trials and tribulations, particularly in the last year and a half, I've got some companies that are having euphoric outcomes in one day and others that are in a catastrophe through litigation or whatever. So I'm constantly arbitrating situations. I do this every single day. And so what we've done here, you're probably aware that in our court system over the last year and a half, we've got a massive logjam of thousands of cases that are not going to get to trial, and yet there's serious litigation going on here that's destroying businesses. So this is a court show not like any other. This is not about the dog barking next door eating your homework or something. This is real litigation where people are suing each other, and it's very, very difficult sometimes to watch this happen. It just tears families apart, tears customers apart with companies. It's crazy stuff, and it's very compelling.
And they agree to abide by the decision of the Money Court, regardless.
And so here's what we've got. It's a rather remarkable outcome.
Yes,
you've sued somebody. You have litigants. They're suing.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the queue in the court system. They realize it may be years before their trial is heard, but they've got to get a resolution. They have to find somebody they trust to arbitrate the case. What I've assembled is a really great team. I've got Adeposo, who's a federal judge. She sat on the bench. She's got a bullshit meter like you've never seen. She really knows when someone's lying to her. And I've also got Katie Fang, who's an actual trial attorney. So they've got the law nailed down. They read the case. They see the docket. They tell me what the law says I should do. But I don't always listen to that. I have the final decision. I want to save the business. I want to do what's right to save a business that has employees, it's got customers and shareholders. So I'm going to find that middle ground. And the remarkable situation is these litigants sign that arbitration agreement, that contract. And as one said to me, look, I don't really like you, Mr. Wonderful, but I trust you. And I like that. I'd rather be trusted than win a popularity contest.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. We could have had you, if the case of Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers from April all the way through to about July was in front of you, where there's an ironclad contract between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, but he wants more of a say in the business. Is that something that, obviously they're not suing each other, but that is a dispute that we could have used you, Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, to sort of knock some heads together, I think. That would have been good.
You know, I would have loved that case. Aaron Rodgers kicked my ass on Jeopardy. I'd love to get that.
So some of these things aren't completely impartial. There is a little bit of the personal that comes into something like this.
No, no, no. Listen, the truth is when I have to actually judge a case where you know, these cases, I got to tell you something. I've made a lot of television in my time.
You have.
And we were rehearsing for this, getting the right cast and all the cases teed up.
Yes.
We get into the studio. We shot this thing in NBC Universal, Telemundo in Miami, which is, I've never seen a studio like that. It's the size of an airport. It's all digital. It's state-of-the-art. They did the Olympics out of there. It is the best studio in the world. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there were 100 people on the set. Now, when these professionals come in, they make television. They're jaundiced. They're the studio people, the sound people, the lighting people, the gaffers, the catering, the makeup, all that. Maybe 100, maybe 120. I don't know. A lot of people. And so, you know, they make the TV. They don't watch it. They make it. They're running the cameras and the soundboards and everything. I look over to my right, and every room has a line feed monitor. Because when you're shooting this with multiple cameras, mm-hmm. there's an editor in the truck making a quick line feed for reference. And it's coming across to all the studio space. I look over to my right in the middle of a case, and there's 20 professionals there glued to the line feed monitor. They're not at the soundboard anymore. They're watching the show. They should be making the show, not watching the show. And then, at the break, the woman that does my makeup comes up to me and says, "You're an asshole. I hated the way you adjudicated that case. You didn't give enough money to the daughter." And I thought to myself, she's totally engaged. We got a hit. We got a monster hit. When the people that are making the TV are watching the TV, you got a hit, and that's exactly what's happened.
So when you're being told you're being an a-hole, does that mean deep down, Kevin O'Leary, you know you're doing your job properly? Like, is that how you receive it?
I'm doing the right thing. You know, I am, because when they do the exit interviews with the people that have to abide by my ruling,
yes.
They asked, 90% of them said they were okay with it. And in most cases, nobody was happy. That means I did a great job. Everybody left something on the table. That's a good outcome.
A new episode of Money Court tonight and every Wednesday on CNBC at 10 p.m. Eastern Time with Kevin O'Leary of Money Court joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then, of course, of Shark Tank. How did you find Alex Rodriguez when he showed up on Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary? What'd you think of A-Rod?
I've worked with Alex before. We've done a lot of stuff together. He's been on Shark Tank multiple times. Mm-hmm. Very interesting guy. Major focus is real estate. That's what he does.
Okay.
You know, each of these sharks or guest sharks have a vertical that they're specialty in. And he's a real estate guy. That's what he knows. So he's a cash flow guy, real estate guy. Real estate's all about servicing debt on these buildings and getting cash payments. So that's his specialty. And I think it's good to bring these different disciplines onto the Shark Tank because it keeps it interesting.
So was he a threat in a way to Barbara Corcoran as to what she used to do, or that she just sticked A-Rod aside pretty much when it come down to that?
No, Kevin. I mean, I think those two are as close as they could be because they know each other from previous years, mm-hmm. and particularly New York real estate. In fact, they've done a couple of deals together in apartment buildings. Now, Barbara's special. I've known her a long time. She's a great cook. When I go to New York, we get together. I'm a chef, too. And we enjoy each other's company. But I must tell you something. The only reason she gets to Shark Tank on mm-hmm. time, and we're in the middle of shooting season 13 right now,
yes.
is I bought her a new broom.
I think I saw that coming.
I've been saying that for years.
I know you have.
Yeah. Joke about Barbara. She loves it.
I know. She does actually find that joke funny. I've seen her actually laugh at it. Because, you know, as you know
what troubles her,
yes.
she has no comeback. That's the problem. It kills her.
Well, I mean, just, you know, I guess they just expect it from you, Kevin. You know what I mean? Like they see that one coming and, you know, and so.
I get it.
Which is your Shark Tank acquisition business deal you're most proud of, most successful, as you and I are talking right now, Kevin?
Well, if you measure it by return on investment, it has to be Plated. It's the largest exit in Shark Tank history, $340 million cash. The company was bought by Albertsons after Amazon bought Whole Foods. They wanted a digital strategy. It was one of the companies that was doing meal kits. It had kitchens in Chicago, New York, and L.A. We've been spending a lot of time and money building that up, and they bought it. And I think what's so interesting is that that was the beginning of the whole digital movement, direct-to-consumer in the food space, very early on. And those are a couple of guys that came on Shark Tank with nothing. They became multimillionaires in 36 months. And so it does happen on Shark Tank. These outcomes are extraordinary. We've had many others. We've sold billions of dollars of the products and services. We've made countless millionaires. And, you know, it's a really, in its 13th year, there's no platform like that. You get 100 million eyeballs seeing your product or service after a year of syndication. You can't buy that anywhere. And so, and the sharks have millions of followers. I'm able to invest in a business, reduce its customer acquisition costs, tell the story of what they do. And I think in the long run, it goes on forever because it's an iconic platform now. It does something that's really great. It helps people realize the American dream. There's nothing wrong with that.
And you guys were nominated for a reality competition show and then an outstanding host as well. Was that the first time that you were nominated for the hosting gig? Or has that happened before?
No, I think it's our third time for hosting. We're being optimistic. If you think I'm bad now, if I win that Emmy, we don't even know each other. It's going to be horrible.
Oh, man. I just was going for the fact that, you know, in terms of folks don't see this very much, but those who vote do see a For Your Consideration video that's put out there. And there was a particular host on the Zoom this year for that conversation, Kevin. And there is an I in Rich and Eisen. Do I get a little bit of credit for some of these nominations based on my stewardship of these conversations?
Phenomenal job in it.
Thank you, Kevin.
And if I win that Emmy, we're going to be friends forever. I can tell you, I take it back.
What if we don't? What if you don't?
We've won four. I'm just going to have to be an ostrich with my head in the sand. I don't know. I mean, I think we do a great job on that show. Yeah. We've won four Emmys for the show and the producers. We think as hosts, you know, we've steered that ship a long time. I think we've done a pretty good job, but you never know. The Academy has to vote.
Yes.
Members are voting. Hopefully they're looking at what we've done this year. Last year, we shot that show in an extraordinary situation because of COVID. We were locked in a hotel for almost 2 months, never going outside. And we did it safely. Nobody got sick. And the pandemic was raging. And I think you got to ask the producers to pull that off. We had like 220 people on that set, everybody getting tested every day. And so it worked, and I think the television industry has figured out that maybe COVID in one form or another is going to be around, and we need new safety protocols, and that's what's going to happen. You know, I wanted to bring up one thing, Rich, about tonight's show that I think you may find pretty different.
Go for it.
There's a case tonight. There's a case tonight that most people think litigation is because businesses fail and people are suing to get the last of the assets. There's a case tonight. The craziest thing I've ever seen, it was a couple of partners, and you'll recognize it right away, that had a business that was phenomenally successful. Pre-tax earnings like I've never seen on a cash flow basis. I didn't even believe the numbers until I saw the statements. I thought it couldn't be true. And get this, they were suing each other. I thought I was in a different universe. I said, who sues out of success? You guys are making a fortune. What are you doing? Like, how is it possible that you would grind to a halt and litigate with this much cash flow flying around? And that's this case you got to see. It's nuts. It's beyond nuts. You couldn't make it up. It's so crazy.
That'll be tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on CNBC every single Wednesday night. Maybe we can have two guys here on my show come in front of your court if one of them doesn't pay off the bet of giving somebody a breakfast because their alma mater lost to the other in the NCAA tournament. That's what's going on here. I know that might not raise to the level of reaching the money court, Kevin, but that's the conundrum I face.
Well, no, I'd love to bring something like that because I'd ask Ada to put a robes back on and throw one of you in jail. That would be fantastic.
There you go. There you go. Kevin O'Leary ruling from the bench. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Let's do this again anytime. I appreciate it.
Take care, Rich.
Right back, at you. At Kevin O'Leary TV, Twitter and Instagram. Check him out. Money Court, 10 p.m. Eastern tonight and every Wednesday on CNBC.
Mr. Wonderful.
I would I'd give him the breakfast, bro.
I mean, it seems...
So it was Georgetown lost to Syracuse?
Correct.
Because yeah. Duke didn't play Syracuse. Duke didn't even make the tournament.
No. No, right? Duke opted out.
Duke opted out because of all the craziness that was going on.
Also, I'm not...
Can't keep track.
Georgetown's not my alma mater, but...
You know what I mean.
I wish.
Well, I wish, you know... I'm sorry. Did Lehigh make it?
I have bad memories of Lehigh.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I can't keep up with T.J. Jefferson's history.
And also, can we get Kevin O'Leary at Mr. Wonderful? No one's. I mean, someone's just sitting on it. They haven't tweeted ever.
Is that right?
Let's make this happen.
Well, I mean, he's branding his name. You got to put your name out there. That's your name. You got to do it.
I get it.
That's the way it's got to be.
Mr. Wonderful.
I remember Adam Schefter, he had an underscore way back in the day.
I remember Sapp used to be.
Sapp, at QB Killer. And I told him, you got to be at Warren Sapp.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Jeremiah is still going strong. Move the sticks.
No, he should still be at Daniel Jeremiah. Right. Sorry. You know?
I feel you.
You hear me, at 2 Jiggy? Is there a TJ Jefferson? Somebody sitting on a TJ Jefferson?
There is a TJ Jefferson, yeah.
Who is this person?
That's not me.
Oh, account suspended at TJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they did something wrong, so...
So let's get this back.
I'm still trying to get
verified. You want me to work on it?
I'm still trying to get verified. I reached out to Zach a few weeks ago. I don't really care about the verification.
No, but it's cool.
You know, I feel like it might help me get some engagement. By the way,
you know what I got an email on?
My verification from Twitter?
No. Oh, okay. Getting verified on TikTok.
Oh. We got to lose the
You got to lose the the.
Because what happened, you weren't here, as I told Brockman, the second you guys brought up the fact, this whole TikTok
somebody
thing.
Somebody snagged
Rich Eisen's show. Guess because what? I was going to change
what?
It.
Guess what? Guess what?
That's going to be gone
That's
soon.
That's going to be gone soon.
But I think it's someone you
whoever
might know.
Did it,
because
whoever did it? Whoever
they
did
screenshotted it? A picture of me, and they're using it as the... But they're not doing anything.
Why does
with
that mean
it?
I know them? It could be any Jamoke with a phone and a television, not Peacock.
Yeah, true.
I mean, seriously. But whoever that person is will hear from us. The footsteps are going to get louder fast.
And I remembered it wasn't Lehigh. It was Franklin and Marshall.
There you go.
Lancaster.
Very good.
By the way.
We'll take a break. Speaking of disputes, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green has been apparently dead and buried for a while. It's now the one between the two of them and Warriors management that appears to be front and center. That's next. On the Rich Eisen Show here on a busy Wednesday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What does a bye week look like for you, Tom? What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know what we have planned. I'm going to try to get ahead on anything. That's what I'm going to try to do. Okay. It's not a lot of... it's a little bit of sleeping in, a little rest.
Are you able to sleep in with young kids, though, Tom? Are you able to do that with daylight savings and all that sort of business?
No, not much at all. Yeah. They're up at 6 o'clock today, that's changing wrong. Diapers. So it's still a early morning for me, but... there's nothing like it. There's nothing like winning a game and then coming home and having your kids there and just wrestling with them and waking them up in the morning. So
Well, I don't know.
I get a little more time to do that this week.
Yeah, you do. But I don't know if you're aware. You know, obviously Gronk was playing great. You were playing great against Denver. But as you were playing that game, my kids were baking Patriots sugar cookies, Tom. And, you know, Cooper and Zan were wearing Brady jerseys throughout the whole year. That might have been some of the wind beneath your wings on Sunday, Tom.
I love it. That's awesome. So how did the sugar cookies turn out?
Well, they turned out pretty well. They can travel if you want. I mean, Coop and Zan, you know, would give you the shout out in that regard.
It doesn't get any better now. I have enough sugar in my house. Believe me, we don't need any more imported sugar.
They were bouncing off the walls
in every drawer in the house.
They were bouncing off the walls in the fourth quarter. Come to think about it, Tom, that might not have been a very wise choice towards the end of that.
Always to be expected.
Yeah. So, last question for you, Tom. I mean, what would another Super Bowl championship do for you? Just you. Tom Brady, the player who was drafted 199th overall, won three very quickly. What would it do for you here, this stage of your career?
Well, it's a great question. I think when we won earlier in my career, I didn't quite realize how hard it was to win it. You know, we've been there two other times and not closed the deal, and it's a very, very hard thing to do. And I didn't quite realize that at the end of the 2004 season. And I think 10 years later, with a lot of reflection, I realized how hard it is and how much I appreciate what we did accomplish. And then if we were ever to do it again, which I sure hope we are, then you know, how much I would continue to appreciate it, because that's why we play. That's why we... You know, that's why we work hard. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we work hard. That's why we play with pain. That's why you go through the whole conditioning program and training camp is for that one goal. And, you know, anything short of that is, you know, based on my experience, is it leaves a lot to be desired. And that would be great to be able to finally close one out if we ever get that opportunity.
And 7 years later, we're going to celebrate our anniversary, and Brady's got four more championships. Yep. We just showed, that was the first day we did a television show back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. November 5th, 2014 was our first televised simulcast day. Or it was our first radio simulcast day. That's when that was.
Yeah.
And we got Brady on that day. I think it was that day. At any rate, I asked him a question. What would it be like for you personally to win a fourth championship? You won three early and you haven't won one since. And then he's won four more since. Four.
Our third radio show day.
There you go.
He's won Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw's entire...
Since then.
Again. Since then.
Four was the standard that day. Almost 7 years ago. That was the standard. You reach that, you have reached the mountaintop. Can you climb higher? Can you find a higher mountain? Get out of here, man.
That moment.
Insane.
Malcolm Butler, 28-3.
Come back. Yep. Beating the Rams.
Now Bucks. What are we doing?
Paying rent in his world is what we're doing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial if you have anything you want to say, or if you're driving around in a truck for 2 hours and waiting and then getting hung up on by Jason Fowler. That's all good.
Well, it's Feller, to be fair.
Feller? What'd I say?
Fowler?
Did I say that?
I thought you said Feller.
Okay.
I was taking maybe I was wrong.
My God.
I mean, he's correcting you, Rich. Man.
That seat does something to people.
You hung up on a listener, bro.
Yeah, man. All
not right. Just any, man. Like, come on.
Oh, well, at any rate.
Ken just driving
so out. There's a new show out, podcast and show out called Chips. And it's Draymond Green's new show for Bleacher Report. Clearly, the folks at Turner and Bleacher love Draymond Green, and why not? I mean, he's kind of built for this sort of thing. When he sits in for on Inside the NBA... He's really good. He's got the chops for chips and more. He's still trying to win chips. Just won a gold medal, as we all know. And he did it with KD and the rest of Team USA. And I don't know when they shot this. Maybe they did this in Japan. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
they're all chilling out wherever they were chilling out in between games. And man, oh man, they hit the Wayback Machine. Let me get the proper date. I had it open here. I might have changed the page. November. It was November of 2019. I think it was
2018.
Yeah. Damn. Here in the downtown Hoops Dojo, Warriors and Clippers. New season had just begun, and Durant wanted the ball. And Draymond Green has subsequently said he was planning on giving it to him, just not when Durant was expecting it, and he dribbled it off his foot, and it led to Durant barking at Draymond, who barked back at him. And that is the subject matter between the two gents that we're all talking about in the media.
How much did our argument against the Clippers drive you to ultimately lead the Warriors?
It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen. Bob Myers and tried to just discipline you and think that that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that shit all out. I remember watching The Last Dance, and when Scotty didn't go into the game, the whole team in the locker room said, Scotty, that was f***ed up that you did that. We needed that. We just needed to throw all of that shit out on the table and say, yo, Dre, okay, like, that was f***ed up that we even had to go through that. Let's just wipe our hands with that and go finish the task. I don't think we did that, and we tried to dance around it. I just didn't like how all of that, just the vibe between all of that, it just made shit weird to me. And I'd rather us be who we say we are, family first. Communication is key. Like, we didn't show that, and that's what rubbed me the wrong way more than anything.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow. So Steve Kerr didn't get the two of them together? When you said that they acted like it didn't happen?
Yes.
Because I'm reading about, they've both talked about this before. And, you know, that this is back in April.
In that clip that we didn't show, Draymond says, look, for my own peace of mind, like, it wasn't my fault you left the team, right? Because of this argument. And that's when Kevin says, you know, kind of explains what he just said.
You know, Draymond said that it continued to fester and took on a complete life of its own. Because one thing is said or another, we argue, DeMarcus pulls me away, Cousins, and tells me to shut the F up. From there, everyone took it and made it this whole thing. To me, it wasn't a big deal. Did we get into a bad argument? Yes, but Kay would cuss me out all the time, meaning Durant. Fast forward, the buildup of everything, the media coverage around it, the suspension, it only made it worse. It continued to fester and took on a complete life of its own. Durant mentioned, again, this is an article from NBC Sports Bay Area in April of this year. The exchange, the certain S that you said to me, I was just like, all right, I know what it is. I know what I bring to the team. All right, Dre went too far on one of his little joints. I'm going to talk to his A about this S next week and let him know what it is really is with me. That's what I was on. I was so irritated because I knew the vultures were going to eat this up. I knew they were going to use it to try and divide and separate me from the group. That was the irritating part because I knew it was going to happen. I'm trying to put it all together. So it's Kerr's fault for not getting them together, and it's Bob Myers' fault for suspending Draymond?
It's kind of what it sounds like from Kevin Durant's
point of view.
And Durant
didn't want him suspended?
Well, Durant wanted, I think what he said, you know, kind of came out watching The Last Dance too. He wanted the whole team to get in there just kind of air out everything that's happening.
And you'd
let's
think
talk,
that
let's
Kerr
yell, and let's
Kerr,
get over
Kerr
it.
Watched that happen. For you had a front row seat for that part of The Last Dance, I imagine. Although I can't remember when he arrived there. But he definitely knew that airing it out was...
Yeah, Kerr was on the back end the last three titles. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like Kevin just wanted to talk it out. Well, say what we got to say. If it's angry, if we're cursing, if we're yelling, fine. Boom, let's get it out. And that did not happen.
What if his Achilles didn't give way and they beat the Raptors?
Seems like he was leaving anyway.
Seeming like that, too.
Yeah.
So now does Draymond go to talk to Steve Kerr now? And they're a fascinating team, the Warriors, man. They're a fascinating team. Because I'm assuming Klay's going to come back.
Yeah.
And they've got a ton of talent.
They got a lot of good young players.
Yeah.
They're a team in the West, man. Man, NBA is going to be hype this year.
Well, you could say that every year. Certainly when Ben Simmons winds up sticking in Philadelphia. You know that's the way it's going to end, right?
Sticking in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
yeah.
Even though
we all know it's going to be. But when and where?
He'll be in a place with a P for sure, but it'll be on a different coast.
Pelicans?
No. It'll be up northwest.
You're out of your mind.
I mean, just out of your mind.
Honestly.
But I'm just going to speak it into existence, all right?
Who gets traded first, Deshaun Watson or Ben Simmons?
Great question.
That's a good one, Chris. That's a good one.
Seems like both guys are very unhappy in their current spot.
Yeah,
obviously.
But Watson is untradeable and Simmons is tradable.
Right.
Right now, Watson's situation is untenable.
Yeah.
As much as I love his play.
I love watching him play.
Correct.
Yeah.
And prior to all this massage madness,
right?
I had no idea. So just that guy,
right?
I would trade for that guy in a heartbeat. But that's not the guy you're trading for right now. You're owning a team. You can't bring that into your house until that house is in order. You know that he is a member of an upstanding member of our citizenry.
Yeah.
And right now it's still such an amorphous situation. It doesn't even fall into the category of the commissioner's exempt list, as Ian Rappaport pointed out Monday. So Ben Simmons is more eminently tradable right now, so I'll choose him. Question is when, right? It's tons of time. I mean, we're still
in
August.
Tons of time. We're still in August. Season starts in 2 months, so we got time.
The question is, does Lillard go in a certain direction by saying something? That he could change the tenor of everything with just one tweet, one post, one Instagram, one comment. I don't know what to make of this. Like, honestly, that's just a snippet of that they basically said it got so bad. You're not KD told him, you're not the reason why I left. It's the other people's reaction to making it worse because we never talked to each other.
And the thought that they could just kind of, like KD said, put a mask on it and just hope it goes away. And just that just made everything worse instead of just talking it out
one
time.
Sounds weird, man.
Sounds weird.
That's the way to happen.
And this potential dynasty that could still be going got broken up because of it.
And we're all, I mean, you said he was going to be going anyway.
It seemed like that was the smell in the air, but.
They won their gold medal, though. We haven't hit that because I was gone, but I'll just say this. That's a remarkable run. Yeah. What they did again.
Well, but where it was at the beginning and what
please.
It looked like.
In a pandemic, all of these players, and I know that Durant was hurt the year before, but a nice number of them were playing in the bubble and playing all those through the pandemic. And they say, yes, I will go to Vegas. And yes, I will go to Japan, where the only result that would be satisfactory was winning the gold medal. And all of these teams that play internationally now on the Olympic stage have a ton of NBA players. I'm telling you, the days of Marshall Onis being the only one to be out there to maybe compete with them, you know what I mean?
And look at the team like Spain. They've been playing together. Like the Gasols are still playing. They've been playing together for a decade.
I mean, like I had Vince Carter on Tokyo Gold.
He was great on the broadcast.
He was terrific. Yeah. I had Vince Carter on Tokyo Gold, and we in-bumped the segment. We started with a video of him dunking on Frederick Weiss in Sydney in 2000.
Right.
And difference now is that take Frederick Weiss, the French pastry, out, put in Rudy Gobert. That's the difference. Yeah. That's the personification. Yeah. And Luka's out there now.
Oh, he almost single-handedly took him to the
Luka's
gold medal
out
game.
There. And then you saw the Australians had Joe Ingles and Patty Mills. Yeah. I mean, these guys can take you out in one night in the Olympics. And they won the gold. And you got to tip the cap, man. They did it. Pop and all of them and Colangelo's last ride and Kerr was there. Yeah. I mean, They didn't even have a down moment in Japan with Draymond and KD and Kerr. I mean, they have to be fine for them all to say, we'll all play together in Japan.
Seems like it, but.
That'll wrap it up. Thank you to all the guests today. Michael Keaton was spectacular. We will see you on Thursday's edition of the show. Brother from Another starts next on Peacock for the radio audience. We'll chat Thursday.